Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Pastor Tom Kyle.
We are just so blessed and privileged as a family to have so many gifted people. If you are newish here, we do welcome you. If you think, man, they sing a long time here. Yes? As a family, we value the presence of God, and part of the presence of God is in worship. And as we read the Bible in the age to come, where we will be forever, we're going to be in His presence forever. It'll be the end, I think, of many different things that happen in the world today in the name of Christianity. But worship and being in His presence will be forever. And so it's just a taste of an age to come. So we don't apologize for that. Just think, do you guys do that all the time? Yes, we do. We really try to. And again, some of us, I'll put my wife and I in that category. Won't mention any other names. Back in the day, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we would worship for hours on a Sunday morning. Hours. Holy Spirit would break out. People would get healed, saved in the midst of worship. It was amazing, and there's no formula. It's not like, oh, if you do that, this is going to happen. All I know is God was moving, we responded, and people got healed, saved. My wife, her own testimony. You want to give it?
No, go ahead.
No, okay, she says no. It was 1978. She went to just a normal church meeting. I think it was on a Saturday night. They were worshiping. She heard all these people speaking in Latin. And she was just wondering, what in the world is this? And right in the middle of worship, Jesus appeared to her, if you will, and she got saved right in the middle of worship. No message, no sermon, no come to the front and cry. It was simply Jesus manifesting, making Himself real in the midst of the people. Why? Because they're worshiping Him. And so why do we do what we do? There is purpose. It's not just we don't have anything else to do. We're trying to shorten the message, get less of me, more of them. We love Jesus. And we love telling Him how much we love Him. It's our DNA. It's our church culture here. And we love it. So just in case you're like, wow, do they do that all the time? We try. Well, we don't try. We actually do. So it's a good thing. This morning, I just want to touch quickly. I promised and threatened to start a series on the book of Acts, not this morning, just trying to be obedient. I'm really looking forward to getting into the book of Acts. I cannot wait. I love that book. I've, like several people that I've been speaking to, I've been in it for months on my own, and I just feel just brimming over with appreciation for what Jesus and Holy Spirit have for us in the book of Acts. But this morning, like I said, all week long, I just kept hearing the same couple of things rolling through my mind and through my heart. And so I just want to touch on that this morning. And Holy Spirit, I ask You for help, that You would illuminate the Scriptures this morning. And Jesus, that we would hear Your voice. As we look through the Bible, as we listen to the Scriptures, Holy Spirit, we want to see Jesus. We want to hear Jesus. We want to experience Jesus. I thank You that You're here to love people, Your people. That You're here to bring health and wholeness. And You're here to make people healthy. In our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, in our bodies. You're here to bring heaven's health. To change my mind, to change my attitude, to change my perspective, to change to see the way I see things. Help me, Holy Spirit, to communicate Your heart this morning. Help me to communicate what You want to say to Your people. Yeah. Bless our time. Help us, King Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Two or three real quick questions at the beginning. They are rhetorical, which means you don't necessarily have to shout out your answer. But very simply, and these are not trick questions, and it's just things I've been musing on for a few weeks, and in particular this week. Honestly, if you had to answer this, if I brought everybody up front and everyone had a turn, which is not going to happen, as far as I know. But if you were going to answer this question, just pause for a second. What would you say if you were up front? And you're not going to be. But if, honestly, if somebody just posed this question, what would you say? What do you think people are honestly looking for? This is it. This is your chance to be rhetorical. Honestly, what do you feel like people are really looking for? And secondly, and in the same vein, honestly, what do they feel? What do people feel they really need? What do they feel like they really need? I try not to watch too much TV unless there's a football game attached. Easy. And I see all these commercials telling me everything that I need and everything that I want. And I'm like, nope, nope, Bora Bora, yes. You go into stores and, oh, you need this and you need that. And there's so much the world screaming that you need. And if you had this, you're going to be happy. If you experience this, you'll be happy. That's the missing piece, the missing link for your happiness. But honestly, deep, deep down, for most people, what are they looking for? And what do they really feel that they need? I'm just going to present a thought that I believe is an answer to many, not all. I believe most people, deep in their souls, their longing is, I want to be seen, yep. I want to be heard, and I want to be valued. So many people walking through our lives feel completely invisible. Everybody just walks past me. They have their own issues, they have their own challenges, they have their own priorities. Does anybody actually see me? Does anybody, do I have a voice? Does anybody actually care what I think and what I feel? And am I a person of value? Do people appreciate me? Do I make a difference? Is my life making a difference? The things that I'm putting my time and energy, is it valuable? Is it making a difference? Because when people feel, I believe, when they feel seen, when they feel heard, when they feel valued, I believe they feel loved. And that's what everyone is looking for. I want to start with a passage of scripture. For many of us, it'll be a familiar passage. It's in Luke chapter 19. If you have a Bible, feel free to flip over to the Newer Testament. If you have electronics, push buttons. But it's Luke chapter 19, and it's verse 1 through 10. I love this story. It's about Jesus and his interaction with people, which is why he came. He didn't just send a letter. He didn't send the Bible. He came himself to interact with human beings just like us. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. When you think of passing through, what does that mean to you? Going through? Anybody else? That's the right answer. And you're not going to stop. You're just going about your way. You're going to Costco and you're driving through St. Peter's. You're going to Costco from here. And you're going past Mid Rivers Mall. I'm not going to stop at Mid Rivers Mall. I'm passing through. I'm just going to Costco. And Jesus was always a man on a mission. Jesus entered Jericho and was just doing his day. He's just passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Chief tax collector meant he's in charge of all the tax collectors. And tax collectors, how many people, gosh, this is so sensitive. How many people love the IRS? They're your best friend. I love the tax collectors. I love the IRS. Take more. I can't believe they only asked for this much. You guys deserve everything. I'll just keep 8% this year. Take it all. No. If that's you, please see me afterwards. I have some great things for you to invest in. There's a little weasel named Zacchaeus. And he's the boss of all the tax collectors. And as a result, potentially, of his job, he was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, several of us can, he was short, and he could not see over the crowd or the podium. And so he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up, Jesus looked up, and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Lots of people who are in the crowd are like, finally, the little weasel gets it. We have never liked him. We especially despise him. He's not on our, they don't have a Christmas list. He's not on our gift list. But finally, somebody with some discernment is going to give it to him. That day is now. We love you, Jesus. Verse 6. So he, Zacchaeus, came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. Zacchaeus didn't feel like he was going to be in trouble. Zacchaeus didn't feel like he was going to get a whooping. Zacchaeus didn't feel like today's the day. Oh my gosh, payment due. God hates me. Everybody hates me. I should have chose different. Now I can't hide. That's not how Zacchaeus was feeling. Because he's listening to Jesus. He's listening to tone. He's seeing body language. He hears the warmth in Jesus' voice towards someone who's an absolute mess. And he almost probably potentially relishes in seeing other people's misery and collecting his taxes. But Zacchaeus came down and welcomed Jesus gladly. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter. He, Jesus, he, this religious guy, the man with all the answers, Mr. Miracle Worker, he's gone to that, be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, likely, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Identity is so important. Who you are from God's perspective, not how your husband sees you, not how your mom sees you, not how society sees you. Jesus is speaking to this man, and he says, you are a child of promise. And you may not have stepped into any of them yet. You may have been completely outside of anything that you're supposed to be doing from God's perspective. But he reminds them, you are a child of the King. And your day of opportunity starts today. Amen. I love that Jesus didn't condemn him. I love that he didn't remind him of how many people want to kill him. But Jesus only speaks life to him. He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't pull out a list. He reminds him of who he really is. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And if I can just say this, that for most of us, is why we're still here. Yeah. It's not for your vacation house in Panama City that I'm going to come and visit. It's not for the cool boat It's not for the day you pay off your mortgage. You're still here. I'm still here for people, for broken people, for messy people, for people that we would never have into our home, for people that we don't want to relate to naturally because they're odious. Just the way they walk, they irritate me. Anybody ever get irritated by other people? Liars, there's more. You're just trying to, there's two hands. I see it, Karen, me and you. We are so easily irritated by people, and so often it has to do with the way they dress or the car they drive or the way they talk or the way they boast or their skin color or the way they dress. It's just, they irritate me. You think, do you know them? No, that's why. They irritate me. Why would I want to get to know them? But we have irritations. We can say we don't. The truth is people can irritate us. And I find that Jesus, when he came, he had a specialty of going to the people that nobody else would. Right. Why? Because he wants to bring heaven to earth. Right. He wants to bring heaven to people's life. It means you might do what he did. You might talk to some people. It means you might be having some conversations with people. It might mean you're sharing thoughts with people. One of the reasons, how many people like Facebook? You actually just like Facebook. Go ahead, you can be honest. Katie, I see that hand. You like Facebook. Is there anybody else? Well, a lot of you are on Facebook for reasons I don't understand then. One of the things that I hate, and I know it's an old person's thing now. I don't know that it started an old person's thing, but it seems to be an old person thing now. One of the things I hate and loathe about Facebook is Christians getting on there and arguing. It makes me so happy. And I just think, I could just see Jesus. You are so stupid. You are so wrong. I never like you. I'm going to unfriend you. Boom. Done. Can you imagine Jesus doing that? It's ludicrous. He would never do that, ever, unless he's talking to the devil. In which case he'd say, never like you, God. But I find Christians being so persuasive, loving humanity, arguing with people on Facebook. It's one of my little irritations. I only have two or three. What I love about Jesus is he doesn't come in with people to argue, to blame, to attack. Jesus talks with all the people that nobody else would talk to, whether it's the Samaritan woman at the well, whether it's a leper, can't touch him, stay away from him, they got bells so you hear him coming. Jesus walked over and he touched the leper. Can't touch dead people? Jesus touched dead people. Can't talk to those sort of people? Jesus relished in talking to him. Little weasel man, Zacchaeus, he's like, dude, lunch, how about? And the people, the religious people, the believers of God in their day muttered, you can't spend time with that man. He's a pariah. He's odious. He's disgusting in every way. We won't say we hate him. We intensely dislike him. And Jesus seems to love mixing with those people. Not to debate, not to argue, not to prove them right or wrong. He simply wants to interact with people. At Life Church, this church, we have in our DNA and our culture a theme of honoring God and honoring people. We attempt to express, model, living a life of honor. As a church family, we want to be a family where people feel valued, where people feel loved, where they feel seen, where they feel heard. And we're not always successful. I can promise you that. I can give you names of people who didn't feel like that amongst us. And it breaks my heart. It's not okay. But how do we do that as a family? How do we do that as individuals? How do we express that culture where I see you, I hear you, I value you? How do we do that? And this is not, we have, okay, here's a, I didn't have this on my notes, so I'm nervous. How many people in here, you just know that you know that you know, and you're bold enough, usually it goes with what I'm about to say. You're an evangelist. Anybody in here? There's a hand. There's a hand. Hands. Excellent. There's only five or six. Should have been more raised. It's not for you this morning. You can go now. Just kidding. Because evangelists don't really care. A true evangelist doesn't really care. They're just going to go tell people about Jesus. Most of the evangelists I've known. A true evangelist. They're just going to go tell them. They're witnessing to the waitress. My food is getting cold up there because you're witnessing to the waitress. It's okay. Evangelists have a place. We need them. We love them. We value them. But most people are more like Timothy, where Paul, his father in the faith, had to write to him and said, do the work of an evangelist. Basically meaning, I know you're not one. Tell people about Jesus anyway. And that's the vast majority of us. You may not be as bold at this point as an evangelist, but do the work of it. How do we do that? It's simply talking to people, not arguing, not debating, not correcting, not getting in their face. That's what the devil does. Not the people of God, and certainly not Jesus. How do you do that? I'm shy. I'm introverted. I'm quiet. I'm reserved. How do you do that? Four quick things. One, be brave. Two, be selfless. Stop thinking about yourself. Third, invite someone into your world. And probably the most important thing of these four things about how to get into people's lives is don't be afraid to step into their world. Most of the time we think about, I'm going to invite someone into my world. How about if we don't do that? How about if we step into their world, which changes the dynamics 100%? How can I be like Jesus? How can I involve with people like Zacchaeus? It's not real complicated what he did. That dude's a mess. I want to have lunch with you. That's it. That's how it happened. He's a mess. He's a problem. Everybody hates him. Can I have lunch with you? That's it. Don't be afraid to step into their world. How can I love these people really, really well? Simple question, again, rhetorical. In the scripture, do you find Jesus having lunch, dinner, breakfast, brunch, and other people's homes regularly? As you read the scriptures, does it seem like he was eating with people on a regular basis? Yes? Okay. We can go on. It's as simple as that. Jesus was so effective, he simply stepped into other people's worlds and he had people over for meals. I believe he also had people over to his house. It's a different message for another day. But I believe the scripture would indicate he had a home and he had meetings in his home and he had people over to his home. But that's another message for another day. Socializing all the time. Jesus loved people by spending time with them. He talked with them. He learned about them. He asked questions about them. He had people over to his house. I always get nervous nowadays when somebody invites me to their house because I have had a couple of bad experiences. Anybody had a bad experience at somebody else's house? Okay, all you people have been to my house. I'm really nervous. That's not true. I remember one particular time we went over to somebody's house and I couldn't believe this couple invited Randy and I over. This is 35 years ago, long time. I had hair, everything. And they invited us over to their house, and I was just like, okay. And these are leaders in the church, kind of prominent people in the church, long, long time ago. And after about an hour and 15 minutes, coffee came out, and this is what they told us. Guys, we'd like to introduce you to an opportunity. It was circles, rings. I'm not going to mention the company name. And I just remember sitting there, and I thought, this thing is a whole setup for you to make money. You don't want to get to know Randy and I. You simply want us to be underneath your umbrella. It wasn't Mary Kay, by the way. And I just remember sitting there feeling like this whole thing is about you. It's about what you want to help your life. You have zero intention, and I'll bet you, I could have said, if we say no, we're gone in your world. You have no interest in us except my pocketbook and what the people, my contacts. And I wonder how many times in my life I've invited people over to my world with one intention. I want them to come to church. I want them to get saved. And there's nothing wrong with having them get saved. There's nothing wrong with having, but I wonder if my intention, if my time would have been better if I just want to love them. That's it. No other motive. I just want to get to know them and hear their story. What if that was it? I remember one other time. It was 19. I've pretty much forgotten it. But it was January of 1988. It was so cool. We were in a church plant. We're in San Diego, California. And this couple came to our church. I'm not going to mention their names, Don and Kitty. And they were a beautiful couple. It's San Diego, so it's a couple thousand miles away. And this couple invited us over to their house, and he was a former quarterback for LSU. He's a big, strapping, good-looking guy. His wife was lovely, and they had a gorgeous house, lots of money, and blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, they came to the church for a while. They did some picnics, and they stopped coming. And then this guy invited me to a dinner at a restaurant. And I didn't know the purpose of it. It was just a dinner at a restaurant. So I went to this dinner. It's Don. He's a great guy. He's fun. And I got there early, and I started to mingle with somebody, and I was like, Guy, how do you know Don? Well, he goes to First Baptist, and Don came to our church for 3 months. Ah, cool. Stephanie, how did you know Don? Well, she goes to First Assembly, and Don came to their church for 3 months. I thought, hey, Jazz, how do you know Don? Well, he goes to First Methodist, and he came to our church for 3 months. And the room was filled with people that Don had gone to their church for 3 months and then left and went to another church and another church and another church. And he had was building his business through visiting churches, picking what he felt was the right people to build his business. And I remember sitting at this table getting very angry. And my wife knows my ears go red. So dinner finished, and I was younger and dumber. Yeah? With hair. And I sat down with Don. And there's people in this room who remember him because they were in San Diego with us. And I confronted Don. I was younger and dumber. And I kind of went off on him. My ears were red. I felt justified. And I said, dude, all these different churches you've been to, all you're doing is building your business. Oh! And I don't know if I was right, but I felt better. I don't think he did. But I just look at it and I think, what happens with people when they feel like you just want me to come to your church? You just want me to come to your church. I wonder if anybody in my world has ever felt the same way. The reason why I'm meeting you is I really want you to come to my church. I wonder how people in the world feel. This is supposed to be a positive message. So I look at it and I think, Lord, help me. Can I simply look at Zacchaeus? Because I'm simply passing through. I don't have an appointment with Zacchaeus. He's not the key to the strategy. I've heard all about Jericho. And if you get Zacchaeus, you get the whole city. None of that has happened here. Jesus is simply on his way somewhere else. And he encounters a man. And he simply wants to love this man. And he wants to involve with this man. And he wants to have an ad hoc, non-inspired, non-intentional meal with somebody. Just to love. And he could perceive weasel. Hatred, but weasel. And I want to love the weasels. I want to love those people that nobody else loves. And I want to show them what God thinks of him, my Father in heaven, because you're his son. You're a son of Abraham. And I want to remind you of who you really are. And the only way I can do that is to engage with you, not debate, not argue, not cajole, not win the conversation. How do you do that? It's when you have people over and all you want to do is just love people. That's it. The whole goal is I want to love people. That's it. To me, it takes the dynamics of pressure out of it. It takes the frustration of how do I get to those questions? How do I answer those questions? What are those scriptures? What if I simply want to be able to remember at the end of the night his children's names? What if that's my whole goal, is to remember where he went to university? What if that's my whole goal? I just want him or her to feel loved, not to come to my church. I just want you to know somebody sees you, somebody hears you, and somebody values you. Because my time is important and your time is important. And I want you to have dinner with me and my wife tonight. Just so we can love you. I find out whether they like to play board games. Do they like to play cards? Do they like to participate in putt-putt? It's not, pickleball's a new thing, yes. And I'm not, because I love them, I'm not going to have cranberry sauce on the dinner table or sweet potatoes because I want to make a good impression on them. What if we became known as those people in our neighborhood for simply love people? And if you want to have a great time, feel loved, feel important, feel blessed, you go to Tom and Randy's house. What if we're those people? You're in trouble, who are they going to call? When there's a problem, who are they going to call? Love them, touch them, see them. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Gifts of healings are necessary. Words of knowledge, absolutely necessary. I believe that's what Jesus was operating in with Zacchaeus. But his word of knowledge wasn't to preach at him right there. His word of knowledge was, can I step into your house? Can I step into your house? And I will remind you of who you really are. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is what I want to dispense in my neighborhood. This is what I want to dispense to the lady at work. This is what I want to give away to the people in my school. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Samaritan woman felt, somebody's seen me and listens to me. Zacchaeus up in the tree, not a good person by the world standards. He says, I want to mix with you. I want to come into your, step into your world. It's to see people's lives and hearts healed and restored. And most of the time, it doesn't start and finish with a scripture. It starts with love and time and attention. So great, but how? I'll finish in 3 minutes because I can. Great, but how? How do I do this? It's so intimidating. Randy and I do not have the gift of hospitality. We just don't. When you come to our house, we're nervous. Randy is clean for 2 weeks. Not that it needed it, but there's been some serious deep cleaning, which means she's going to pull my clothes out from underneath the bed and wash them. That's deep cleaning. But when we have you over at our house, we're a little uptight. And there are people in this room who have the gift of hospitality. We're more the gift of hostility when it comes to that. We just get really uptight when people come to our house, except our kids. They know us. Our kids get a pass. So what do? Do what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. Invite yourself over to somebody else's house. Simple. Don't come here. We're coming to you. And here's our laundry list. Here's our thing. This is what we like to eat. Thank you. Thank you. We want you blessed. So not all of us have the gift of hospitality. So what do? You pray. First thing you do is you pray. Do I want to be a sponge? When people touch me, they bump into a wet sponge with the love of Jesus. Pray. Lord, who should I ask to invest and involve in their life? Who? It might be someone at work. It might be someone at school. It might be a neighbor. It might be an old friend. It might be somebody who just heard had surgery or is about to have surgery. Just pray and ask. If hospitality isn't your gifting, be really specific. Say, Lord, who? Second thing you could do, great, but how? Determine ahead of time, before they walk into your house, it's all about them and not you. Yeah. Determine ahead of time, it's all about them. So what that means is you're going to resist this. Hey, same thing happened to me. And then they and I elaborate for the next 20 minutes on how I felt the same thing, but mine was 10 times worse than yours. People always feel so loved when I do that to them. Determine ahead of time, it's all about them. How can I bless them? Do I find out ahead of time what they like to eat, drink, what their dessert faves are? And I write down after they leave. I do it. Write down after they leave their children's names, where they went to school, what their degree is in, what their dog's name is, because they don't have cats, not your friends. Sure, they can have cats, okay. Write down their cat's name, Little Whisper. Significant losses that they've had, significant things that are coming up, whether it's a surgery, a test, an exam, a promotion interview. What do? I have somebody to my house, and I pray who. And second thing, I determine it's all about them. And I take the time to write down, because I forget, I write down as soon as they walk out of the door, information about them, because I want to have a relationship with them. And there's nothing that's more winsome than when somebody remembers your kids' names, if you have them. There's nothing so winsome as somebody who says, hey, that interview's coming up tomorrow. Is that still on? Yeah. Is it? I think you said it was 11 o'clock. Yeah, it is 11 o'clock. I'm praying for you. There's nothing so winsome as people who actually remember what you said. It's not complicated. And the last thing, and I'll close with this, is follow up with great intentions. My desire is to build a relationship, a friendship. They're, once they see my beautiful wife and I, at some point, they'll probably ask us about our friend named Jesus. Somehow it will come up because they will see it in our lives. They'll understand why we do what we do. It's not complicated, but I want to be like Jesus with a Samaritan woman at the well, the leper, this Zacchaeus. I just want to get invested in people's lives, and I'm not so worried about them coming to church. I want them to end up meeting my friend. It's not an Amway switch. It's not a business switch. It's not Mary Kay. I'm not recruiting for Life Church. I just want to love people. That's it. Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you that you introduced me to you. You walked into my life, Jesus. You interrupted me. You loved me. You blessed me. You cared for me. I honestly believe you weren't all that interested about which church I went to. You just wanted me to get to know your family. Jesus, I thank you for how you loved me. Lord, help me get past my inhibitions. Help me to get past my fears. Help me to get past my insecurities and to actually reach out to people and love them and listen to them and have a conversation with them that they would feel loved and valued and seen and heard. Help us as a family, Lord, to take your kingdom forward in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And amen. If you have a prayer request, I want you to come forward. You have a prayer team up front, and they will do so. Have a great week. If you want somebody to pray with you, please come forward. We'd love to stand with you. Be blessed and encouraged. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.